It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Sean, do you think for non-offensive linemen, Dalton Schultz caught it the most? From
the football?
No.
Oh.
That was one of his problems. Caught the most criticism for non-offensive linemen who played for the Texans last year. Was there anyone else on the list that could have rivaled him?
Locally, I don't think so.
Like, if
nationally, C.J. Stroud. But that's more of a quarterback then.
Yes. And even still, the positive impressions of C.J. Stroud from year one, those remain more than what you would consider struggles. Look, I'm a sicko. I listen to a lot of NFL podcasts, and a lot of it is CJ was held back by the surroundings. Yeah. Not CJ is the problem.
It was pretty unanimous. Dalton Schultz, yuck, get this guy off my team.
Yeah, it's fan reaction immediately after a playoff loss or during a playoff loss, but a lot of people didn't want to see Dalton Schultz back. He is back. He is slated to be your starting tight end. And here's Dalton Schultz on kind of what happened last year.
I was, I had a couple things done in the offseason that I was kind of working through. And just now, I think, finally getting back on the field, getting back into football, I feel really good.
Were you hurt last year?
No. That's hard. Everybody's hurt, dude. Like, no matter. Right. Like, I went through just some, like, rehabs and some deficiencies that I had. But like, I don't know, everybody's hurt, dude. Like nobody's fresh, especially in the playoffs. Like you ain't playing somebody at 100%. That's like the beauty of the game is to try to find a way to give everything you have into whatever percentage that you want to call your health at that point. You know what I mean? Everybody's fighting through that. And so, that's just a battle. It's the war of attrition that we play. And, I was happy to get an offseason under my belt where I could just kind of refocus on getting my body back to a really nice baseline.
And you said Paul saw him and he looked better. He looked like he was moving better. So that speaks to what might have been some real issues last year. And credit to him for saying, look, everyone's hurt. Everyone's got problems. I was not the only. Yes, dude.
said everyone's hurt, too.
I'm not the only one dealing with it. But he looked like he was affected by it. And anything we can say other than Dalton Schultz is washed. He was hurt. He looks better this training camp. Maybe we will get the Dalton Schultz we got in 2023, the one people were happy to be returning. Because he was one of the guys who was part of the list of number ones, I think, when we were discussing all the options that Texas
five
had
of them, so, yeah.
Going into 2024. So if he's back to normal, that's great. Another guy who's back is Christian Harris in pads, back in pads. Him and Damian Pierce back out there. Christian Harris, who's been kind of a mystery. If he was an Astro, he would fit right in because we're not sure why he's hurt as much as he's been the last couple of years. He came back late in the season last year, wasn't himself, and then missed a lot of the offseason activities up until today. So Christian Harris is back. So that's a guy who still people have some promise for. It has a lot to do with the back half of the 2023 year where he kind of found himself with D'Amico Ryans in that defense, made big plays. He was good in coverage, could tackle a guy out in space, and then, of course, a pick six against Joe Flacco in the playoffs. So he's back. Damian Pierce is back. And it's good to see. And if Dalton Schultz can be healthy, even better. All right. Of course, if anything happens Texans-related the rest of the way, we'll get to that. But in the division that houses the Rockets, there was an extension signed by De'Aaron Fox. And unlike the Rockets, the Spurs decided we don't want to negotiate at all. De'Aaron Fox, take all our money right now. And I saw the deal and I wasn't surprised by it. That's generally how these things go. Not a lot of people operate like Rafael Stone. And particularly when you trade for De'Aaron Fox. Now, you didn't have to give up a lot for him, so it's not like the Spurs were desperate. In fact, that's kind of why I start to question it. He didn't cost very much to give up. You have two guards that you like that you recently drafted. Why are you giving De'Aaron Fox all the money that you could give him? What does that mean? Look, what it means is all three of them are going to play. But De'Aaron Fox is a good player. You might even say a very good player, just depending on how you want to use your words. He's a very good player. But is he a let's max De'Aaron Fox out? And, of course, Wimby's going to get his max as long as he stays healthy. I knew it was coming, but then when you start to dive deep into what the Spurs are doing, I get it. He's going to play 30-plus minutes tonight. But I still got Dylan Harper and Stephon Castle, who we know, at least we assume, aren't a good fit with De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, well, Castle, like, literally started playing. Like, he won the Rookie of the Year because Fox and Wimby got hurt.
Yeah, so he got more.
Especially Fox.
More opportunities.
Because Fox got hurt.
So, what's the plan? It's a rhetorical. I understood you might not have an answer because you don't work for the Spurs.
They're all guards. I don't know.
And none of them are really wings. Like, I guess you want to put Castle on the wing.
He's the most wing-ish.
Yes. If you want to make him more less of a ball handler and more of a wing, where he can be a defender and be a secondary ball handler. Okay. But I feel like I want Castle and Fox to be my backcourt of the future. Not Fox. Castle and Harper to be my backcourt of the future.
We also haven't said Devin Vassell's name, who they also signed.
Yes.
That's nine-figure extension.
Exactly. Yes, and this is why people believe at some point, because of now what has become a glut. Look, the Spurs couldn't have predicted when they traded for De'Aaron Fox they'd wind up with the number two pick. It's not something that you could have predicted. So you wind up drafting Dylan Harper just because you can't pass up on that talent at number two.
Should the Spurs have known, though? Because it's like, hey, we're not going to make the playoffs.
And we always
chances are we're going to get either the number. Maybe they're like, we're going to get the number one pick because that's what happens every time we miss the playoffs.
Maybe they thought they had
Cooper Flagg.
They had Cooper Flagg in their back pocket, so they weren't accounting for bringing on another
number
guard.
Two. Ugh, sucks.
What the hell?
They're the only team that's like disappointed. It's like, wait, you had the 10th best odds. You're disappointed you had the number two. Yeah, normally we get one.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, we could be the last team out of the playoffs and still get the number one overall pick. That's how we kind of think we should operate at all times. So that came across my screen, much like the Luka thing. Not a surprise. I just think for roster construction, it's a little weird to give him all the money. Look,
the Fox one compared to the Luka one, especially where you're like, wait, he's getting like. I get it's one more year, but he's getting, Luka was like 185, and then Fox is 229?
I'm not paying.
That's a big difference.
In how the CBA is constructed and how teams are operating, I'm not giving Fox that money. Of course, circumstances led to this being an issue with all the guards, but I'm negotiating at least.
Yeah, even.
I'm not giving you, look, you want an extension, you want to be here, cool. Love you, De'Aaron. I'm not giving you all the money.
Yeah, even
you cannot be at that level. You're not that player.
That's what I was going to say. Even without the Dylan Harper issue, it's like just Fox by himself. Are we sure he's a no doubt about it? Full, like, we pay him the most he can possibly get a year early?
Look, he had a great clutch season a couple years ago. I guess you can still live
clutch
off of that.
Of the year,
if you are if you're a big De'Aaron Fox fan, shout out to Fox Muse. I'm sure it's out there someplace. But is he a difference maker? Like the Kings were fine for a year. They're good fun for a year, and they got knocked out of the playoffs. Look, he had a broken finger, I believe, in that Warriors series. But over the course of Fox's career, if he wasn't a max player for Sacramento, how is he a max player for the Spurs when you have Wimby and two other young guards you're going to lean on? And as you mentioned, you've already paid Vassell.
Yeah.
It just seems like they were, I won't even say a victim because you wind up with Dylan Harper, so you're not a victim of circumstances. But circumstance led you to say, okay, what else are we going to do with pay De'Aaron Fox this money? For a guy throughout his career has not meant that much to winning in Sacramento. Look, Sacramento's a mess. They've been a mess really since the Weber, Bibby era, Stojakovic era. So it's not on De'Aaron Fox. They've had coaching regime changes. They've had general managers, ownership, whatever. It's all come together to make Sacramento kind of a disaster, and no one wants to go there. But I would like to pay a max to a real difference maker, and Fox has not proven that to be the case over the majority of his career. But we're not the Spurs, so no. Shout out to the Spurs. Yeah. Credit to you.
Get Sohan on an extension while you're at it.
Oh, you think that's...
got to take care of Sohan.
I imagine that's someone they will pay.
He's untouchable in Durant trades.
Is he untouchable in the Giannis trade? Which we didn't talk about on air, but it came out through Shams again that Giannis isn't dead set on leaving Milwaukee or staying Milwaukee. It's not even a story. It's a continuation of what he said earlier this offseason. It's just different wording.
Yeah.
He went from open-minded to not dead set, pretty much. Thanks. And it started up another round of aggregating, and Giannis could be on the
August
move.
Monday, August 4th, yeah. Like, all right, let's...
I'm sure ESPN had told Shams to hit the button. Hey, ask him again, and when you find out he's not dead set, now we got another report. We can bring you on, get up a first take, throw that out there, turn that into content, and that's part of our conversations for the rest of the day.
And next week will be... LeBron, some nebulous LeBron reporting.
LeBron congratulated Luka on his extension.
Oh, okay. But nothing to see here, folks.
That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. It's good if this is a mistake for the Spurs. Helps the Rockets.
Yeah, it's about time they mess up once.
Yeah.
It's about the first time in 30 years they messed up.
Look, they've had their down seasons.
And they signed like a pretty good player to a really good, like a contract of a really good player.
Yeah. Their mistake was not projecting that they would wind up the number two pick and drafting the second best player in the draft. And also giving a really good player max player money. That's the big mistake they made. And really, if the CBA was different, it wouldn't be that big of a mistake. But because how the CBA is now, it's something to look at.
Wembanyama just stays healthy.
There
really isn't. Like, they have to do some real late 2000s Cleveland Cavaliers type stuff to mess this up with Wembanyama. So I'm still not like dancing on their grave.
No, they're pretty much alive. I don't know how good Mitch Johnson will be as their coach, so that certainly you can ask questions about that. But they're going to have enough talent and enough assets to make any move they want to make. Let's just hope they make the wrong ones. Let's just hope Wimby is actually not a traditional European player.
Oh, yeah.
And can be a destructive force. Like, hey,
Messi jump teams. Yeah. I can jump teams.
If you don't do things I like, I will cause so much of a problem. I'm going to hold, like he learned from LeBron, he's going to hold the Spurs' feet to the fire throughout his entire career.
You go all in every single year.
Or I'm going to be pissed and I may leave. I need, for our sake, Wimby to operate like LeBron.
I hope Wimby doesn't treat Pop like LeBron treated Pat Riley.
Well, Pop is gone.
No, he's El Jefe now.
Oh,
he's,
okay.
He actually just has Pat Riley's job.
Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. You're right. I forgot. I still think of Pat Riley as a coach.
And you and LeBron in 2010, you're both.
He tried to run Spo out of there, give him a little bump, try to get him out of there. Did not happen. He went up to Pat, and Pat was like, F and make it work. I'm not getting rid of Spo. And the Spurs are much like that. They're not going to let Wimby bully the head coach. But I could dream for him to be the typical NBA megastar, but I don't think that's going to be the case. He's hanging out with monks. Like, he goes to a foreign country to hang out with monks. James Harden goes there to promote shoes and start and run a camp, I guess.
Yeah, and that's it. And then be in bed by 9 o'clock. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Sure. James was probably up to other things, but Wimby's playing soccer with monks. So I don't think I'm going to get the hey, do this or I'm out type stuff from him. It's unfortunate. The Spurs got one of those Steph Curry type stars where he causes no problems and all you want to do is help him win. That's unfortunate. Maybe Cooper Flagg's like that. Because we did have two generational players in the last couple years drafted in the state of Texas. So maybe he will be the one who's the destructive force. Maybe Dallas will fall apart. Not like they need much help. They feel like they're teetering.
Yes.
Anyway, so maybe he will push them over the edge.
Yes. They had no problems blowing things up. They actually kind of got bailed out.
That happened. Yeah, we've talked about it, but it happened to both Texas teams.
And both Texas teams in the same year, and then it's the second time in 3 years that happened to the Spurs. Dumb lottery luck 3 times in the state of Texas. The Rockets, while they were tanking, they always had, not bad luck. That's how I always thought about it. They never got the
worst thing never happened to them.
Yeah, they never... Because in 2021, it was top four protected, and it was basically a 50-50 chance of whether they kept their pick or not. And they didn't get the number one pick and pick Cade Cunningham. They got the number two pick. So they kept their pick. You can't really complain. But they didn't get the, capital T, the guy.
Yeah.
Same thing in 22. Well, it wasn't protected in 22, but they kind of stayed put in 22, got Jabari. 23, they didn't get Wimby, but they still got him in time. It's not like you can complain about it. It's not the who was it this year that got screwed? Oh, the Wizards. It's not like the Wizards and the Jazz. Yeah. It's okay, you're just not getting the awesome luck to get a future all NBA player, but you're not falling out of the top five. Meanwhile, the other teams in your state get the two generational guys that come out.
You wouldn't say in any draft that the Rockets, they were in line certainly for Wimby if things fell their way, but
luckily for Wimby, he doesn't have to play here.
Yeah, he was thrilled. But for the most part, the Rockets didn't get the great lottery luck, but they're able to still draft well.
Yeah,
they never rose above their station. If I'm watching the Gilded Age, that's where that comes from.
Oh, okay.
They never rose above their station to land themselves or find themselves where the generational prospect would be taken, or even the really good college player who's a clear consensus number one like Cade Cunningham. But they have drafted well in their spots.
Yeah. They've won enough money to get their money back. Yeah. They paid $20 for scratch-off tickets, and then they just got $25 back.
Yeah.
Amen Thompson
is probably ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Şengün certainly is a guy
they made
where he was drafted.
They pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. They didn't get handouts like Dallas and San Antonio.
Sure, you miss on Cam Whitmore and stuff like that.
That happens.
It happens. It happens.
20th pick in the draft.
Yeah, we'll see what Tari Eason is.
Jalen Green also probably a miss. That happens. Well, the number two pick in the draft.
Yeah, but that miss got you Kevin Durant. So you make do. They've made do.
And self-made men.
As opposed to the Spurs and the Mavs who inherited wealth.
Have Jerry Jones give us a monologue while we're on our deathbeds like John Hamm.
The Mavs very much like Stephen Jones and Cal McNair.
Hey. And Ryan Day, born on third base.
Yes, that is a quote from Jim Harbaugh. Yes, born on third base. Well, he was born on third base, won himself a national title, and now he's got the number two team in the country, according to the coaches, which we found out yesterday. All right, we got a couple of other things to get to before we're done for the day, and Paul Gallant comes in at noon. But first, I want to tell you about people who have been in business for 50 years, and as Sean said, they pulled themselves up. They weren't born on third base. They started a business and kept that business going now for over half a century. You know, I say 50 years plus 50 years now, but it's the equivalent of over half a century Monument Chevrolet has been in business. That means they do a great job selling great cars to you. And it's back to school season. The district in my neighborhood starts back next week. That's happening around the greater Houston area. And if you want a great car for your student who's going back to school, Monument Chevrolet is the place for you. Maybe it's something pre-owned that you want to get because you don't want to start them off with something crazy, but you want to get them something great. Monument Chevrolet has cars in that category, and they have 6 months, 6,000-mile warranty on those cars. You can check out all they have to offer at monumentchevrolet.com, or you can go visit them on at Beltway 8 and 225 in Pasadena. So you can check out those great cars for that person going back to school. And if you need a new car because your current car is unrewarding it's kind of breaking down. You might even call it toxic. You're done with that car. Monument Chevrolet has great new cars for you to check out. You want something like a Trailblazer or Silverado or Trax or some of their EV vehicles. It's all there for you. Great new cars for you. Maybe a great pre-owned car for the student in your life. They're all at monumentchevrolet.com and in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And as always, remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So we gave away tickets yesterday to the listener party, this show specifically, and then we had an online giveaway. If you downloaded the app, you had a chance to win tickets. The entire station will continue to give away tickets all throughout the week. All you have to do is listen. The listener party is back. It's going to be It'll be September 5th from 6:30 to 9:30. I was thinking the day, but I don't know what day September 5th is. But it'll be 6:30.
Friday.
So, yeah, that makes more sense. It'll be Friday, September 5th from 6:30 to 9:30. We're going to be at St. Arnold's. And I say we because the entire station will be there. You can be there, too. Just continue to listen to the station throughout the week and the following weeks, because we're going to continue to give away tickets all the way through Soccer Matters. So when Glenn Davis is on, you can listen to Glenn Davis as well. And beyond Dynamo Talk and International Soccer Talk, League's Cup is currently going on, you'll get a chance to win tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party Friday, September 5th at St. Arnold's, which is, it's a change. We normally have it here. It's a little cramped.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little hotter than we'd like.
The heat is the bad part. I think having it here and having it be kind of cramped gives it a certain charm.
Okay.
But I also like St. Arnold.
And we also had the conservatory downstairs. So the after party, sometimes it went down there last time. We had, John got into an arm wrestling match with the listener's brother down there.
I missed out because I had the next morning I had to go to Lake Charles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would have been tough.
I cut out early.
Yeah, respect. Understood there. So this time around, no after party here, but I'm sure the events can go into the night if you so choose, even if St. Arnold's kicks you out. I'm not saying they will, but if they say 9:30.
Eventually they will. Yeah, they will kick you out at some point.
I'm not saying it'll happen at 9:30.
You don't have squatter's rights.
But if it does happen at 9:30, sure, you guys can find things to do. Once at some point, it becomes less about, hey, it's a chance to meet everyone who works here. It's just people who have known each other for years,
hanging out,
having a good time. So it'll be a good time for all of us. So keep listening, and you'll get a chance to win, as we want you all there joining us to celebrate mostly you guys and your support of the station. Okay, so there is a list, but it's not a list we're going to go through. I just want you to take a guess, Sean. It's okay. A list of the 40 most important players in college football this upcoming season.
Okay. Who's number one?
No, not that. Although you could probably take a guess and figure that out, considering how media works and engagement works. Can you guess the number of quarterbacks before you get to a non-quarterback player?
Okay, so The top non-quarterback is what number?
What number? You don't even have to guess the player. Just what number that player is.
How long is the list? 40?
40. The 40 most important players in college football.
Okay, so at a certain point, it probably should be mostly quarterbacks. But I know also how media works. Like, okay, cool. So the top 40 teams, quarterbacks better be good. It's probably going to be, I'd say outside the top 10. So like 11th.
More?
Like a higher number?
More quarterbacks before you get
17.
To 16.
Okay.
16 quarterbacks make the list.
Whew.
Before, and let me make sure, just to make sure. 15. It's 15. The 16th player is a non-quarterback.
Okay.
So 15 quarterbacks make the list of the most important players in college football.
Who's the most important non-quarterback?
It is
edge rusher, I'm guessing?
They use three guys.
Oh, that's cheating.
It's a cheat, yes.
It's cheap.
Yes. It is one of these three receivers from Clemson. Antonio Williams, Bryant Wesco, or T.J. Moore. They did use the same team, but one of these guys has to take a leap.
Have a backbone. Pick one guy.
Yeah, it's not that difficult.
I liked Williams the most from what I saw.
He's the most productive player of them all. He's more of a slot guy for them. Clemson hasn't produced
good against Texas, if that matters to you.
Doesn't matter that much, honestly.
Mattered a lot to me.
Yeah, kept them in the game. You're like, wait a minute.
Cover that guy.
What the hell? Clemson, if you want to say their downfall, they've never been bad in the Dabo era since really early in his tenure, if you even want to call.
They weren't even that bad. Yeah, the Clemson wasn't bad.
Yeah, whatever.
They're still pretty good.
Yeah, whatever.
That was part of Clemson.
Well, whatever you want to call those records, I don't think they're bad. No. But just early on when they were.
Since Taj Boyd got on the campus.
When Cole Stout was still playing quarterback for them.
Exactly.
They haven't really had an outside receiver to the level of Nuke Hopkins or Sammy Watkins or Justin Ross. Remember, he was a really great college player. Yeah,
even like Mike Williams.
Or T. Higgins. Yeah, they haven't had one of those guys. And that maybe, I don't know if I want to draw the correlation, but since that guy has not appeared, Clemson has not been the type of team that you were really considering being a national title contender. Maybe it'll be Wesco Jr., T.J. Moore. As I said, Antonio Williams is more of a slot guy. But they need to find that guy. It's kind of how, no matter who the OC was, how that offense thrived is because they had big-time threats on the outside, and they haven't been able to find
them. Yeah, their offense was just like, hey, we have an awesome quarterback and some, like, at least one, but normally they had two receivers that are just like a mismatch against
anybody. They've been able to produce slot receivers.
Yeah, your Hunter Renfro.
Hunter Renfro's, and then
Ross was one of them.
I'm trying to think of the Amari Rodgers, who was good there. He never became a good pro, but Amari Rodgers as the complement, along with Higgins and Ross as the two outside guys, along with Renfro, he was on the Watson team. But they've been able to find slot receivers, and in some ways tight ends as well. But they have not been able to duplicate that success on the outside.
I believe in this group. I think maybe it is just because I watched. Probably, if not their best game of the season, their best game of the season against good competition that they had when they played Texas in the playoff. I think that's like I've kind of overrated them just because I'm like, hey, fix up the run defense. You got yourself a good team. But I do think it is as simple as that with a new DC coming in. They got a transfer along the line, which is noteworthy. I read somewhere that he's the first, I think it was Will Helt. He's the first transfer Clemson's ever taken on the defensive side of the ball in the Dabo Swinney era.
Yes, something he refused to do. Ridiculous. It was his calling card.
Yes.
He stood on that.
But you would think they would have, like, because they did get some, like, a transfer here and there. They just were, like, basically grad assistants that had a eligibility left.
Sure.
But the...
Hunter Johnson.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. But the run defense, I think, was the biggest issue for him all season long, not just against Texas, but also against Texas, that they just gave up too many big plays in the run game. With their defensive line talent, there's really no excuse for that to happen, especially like that Louisville game was just like abysmal. So I think they have a real chance to not just like win the ACC, but to be legitimately one of the best teams in college football if they just clean up, like, two things.
Yeah. Kay Klubnik got better as that year went on. He went from someone people were questioning, and is he...
Yeah,
could
he's
he be,
steadied out.
Could he play along the lines of the good Clemson quarterbacks of the past and now?
Not really, but he's like...
Yeah, he's not one of those
he's
guys.
He's, like, good enough.
But he can be a first-team All-ACC quarterback, and that may be enough to get them into... Well, certainly a playoff, but maybe even real contender status. You know, I'm looking at the list, and... Not sure if he goes 1 through 40. Not sure that means they're ranked 1 through 40 because, like, Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams make the list, but they're, like, in the 20s. I don't believe they're...
They're pretty important.
I don't believe Jeremiah Smith, the 24th most important. I think he's higher than that, particularly with Ohio State, and they're breaking on a quarterback.
He's like Darian Mensah is ahead of him. It's like, okay, guys.
Yeah. I think... It's one of those things where you get caught reading something where they put it into tiers to make it easier for the writer. He just puts all the quarterbacks in one spot. But as far as we talked a little bit yesterday about the rankings themselves and, of course, the jokes we made about it being the coaches' poll, being the least influential of all the polls today, other polls less important than the coaches poll are out, like the publications polls, and Texas is at the top of another list. CBS Sports has Texas as the best team in the country, which is, I think, maybe won't be unanimous. Maybe an Athlon doesn't have it number one, but I think the media will put them there too. I think.
Oh, you mean unanimous among the polls?
Among the polls.
Unanimous.
Not like every first place vote.
Yeah. Okay,
but unanimous among the polls. I think Texas will be considered the best team in the country, particularly when Ohio State will maybe rank second, but with all the talent they lost. I think Texas can't.
There's just enough returning question more. Marks. Yeah.
And Ohio State has enough questions where, despite the factory that they are, that's a one where you could comfortably place the defending champion with their losses in a spot where they're not number one. You can hand it over to a team who, you know, if they could stop a screen pass late in the half, may have played in the championship game and may have won it.
Yeah, there's enough questions with all the other teams that would make up the top five to where it's, like, defensible, where you go, like, the defending champion, you already mentioned it. The team that was number one for most of last year and went undefeated in the regular season, Oregon. They are also breaking in a new quarterback and losing some wide receiver talent, losing a lot of talent on offense. You have Georgia, who's probably been the best team of the 2020s. They are also breaking in a new quarterback who's not even, you know, like the like Arch Manning or like the Ohio State quarterback, where highly touted. It's like, well, it's like a program guy, kind of Gunnar Stockton, like no one is throwing him on a Heisman watch list, you know. And Notre Dame also breaking. So it's like all of these teams are breaking in new quarterbacks and all pretty widely viewed as the top teams in the league or top teams in the country, and at the very least, you know, perennially up there, really until you get to like Clemson as far as a returning quarterback at that spot. There's really not that many teams that can conceivably win this thing that aren't breaking in at least a transfer quarterback.
Yeah, the one team we don't take seriously but would fit the bill of bringing a guy back is Penn State.
They'll probably be in they'll be in top five.
Yeah, well, they're number two in CBS's list. They're in the top five for the coaches. That's another team who a lot of people like. The running backs are good. Of course, Drew Aller, more experience. He played well last year until, you know, he threw that awful pick because it's Drew Aller. Our agenda lives thanks to Drew Aller. It was getting a little sticky for us until he reverted back to being Drew Aller. I wasn't hoping for it because that means rooting for Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yeah, you're in a tough spot.
Yeah,
I was in a less tough spot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can always play the long game here.
Yeah. Look, it's Notre Dame in my favorite team's home stadium. Not looking for them to win anything.
Yeah.
But Drew Aller came through when I needed him most, for this show's sake at least. But they're up there, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia. So the typical names you're going to hear across all the polls. But I do believe when we start to do the let's put all these polls together and get the average ranking of all these teams, I think Texas is going to be solidly ahead of everyone else. I think you're just going to see a lot of number ones next to their name. And I don't know if that's a great spot for Texas to be in if I just go by history. No. Now, Sark has changed quite a bit of that with their ability to make these CFP semifinals. But Texas as the team with the target on their back, it's a new place for them in terms of it actually meaning something. Like, those teams under Herman, you rank them 11, whatever, or top 10.
Like, Iowa State had Iowa State was like, oh, we're playing Tech. Like, it's a little bit different.
Yeah. Now, Texas is a legit threat.
Yeah.
And we'll see how they handle it. They certainly have the talent to handle it. It'll just be about trying to navigate what is and always will be a tough schedule. You're playing the SEC, and Texas, as much as they're a team to take shots at, they will schedule. And going to Ohio
Even
State.
Even when they're bad, they schedule.
Yeah, ain't no joke. Yeah, well, they never think they're going to be bad, so they're never going to account for maybe a down year.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be someone on the schedule who.
It really sucked when you had to play those Notre Dame games. You're like, damn it.
Yeah, it turns out, one year, you both sucked.
Oh, yes, yes. That was good. That was good. But the year before, they lost 30-3.
Yeah.
It's South Bend.
But you don't want your program to be scared. You're Texas. You want them to play everyone, right? Right.
In like 2015, I was like, hey, guys, maybe we should be a little more scared.
Nah, you can't be the flagship school of the state and be
and
scared.
You know what? They did step down the competition when they played Maryland 2 years in a row.
How'd that work out?
0-2.
Yeah.
0-2.
Yeah. Hey, you're a soft touch, Maryland, until you're not.
Yeah, that's why I was like, stop playing these guys.
Not even Maryland. Like, if we can't be Maryland.
Lower.
If we can't even be Maryland, what's Northwestern up to?
Yeah. I was like, thank God for the pandemic. We don't have to play LSU. that game got canceled.
Was that the return trip?
Yeah, in Baton Rouge.
But you'd have been better off playing them.
I know.
In 2020. You probably would have won that game.
The tragic irony. we had to play Joe Burrow, and the pandemic happens. We can't play or jabroni. They're
I don't know who the 2020 quarterback was for them.
Coach O is hitting on administrators' wives, allegedly.
That the offseason of 2019 for Coach O, spectacular.
One of the all-time runs.
That man was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to do this again. And he was right. So let's take advantage of it.
He was living life. There's like, like there's no tomorrow.
That picture of him in bed with a random blonde. The quarterback in question, the jabroni, was three of them. Miles Brennan, TJ Finley, and Mac Johnson.
Huh? I think it was Brennan was the week one guy. I think so.
He did start the season.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that Texas team could have got that LSU
just
team.
Just missed out. Fourth year starter, Sam Ehlinger. God, we would have gotten it.
That would have been a big win in Death Valley for your Texas Longhorns. Okay, we'll go to a break with that. Just touching on some college football because we're getting ever closer. And speaking of that, Josh Pate will join the morning show tomorrow. Josh Pate, one of the bigger names in college football, just announced that he's partnering with On3 and Rivals for the college football season. He will join us.
Couldn't have waited to announce it on our show or on the morning show.
I mean, sometimes the press release has to get out there. But Josh Pate, now of On3 and Rivals, will join John Lance tomorrow at 9, and that will be the start of a weekly appearance with those guys to talk the greatest sport in the world, college football. We won't have Josh Pate, but we certainly will talk about it with you. We got one more segment to go. We'll be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So there is a slip and slide out at Texans practice, but for practical reasons. The guys aren't just having an ice cream social and then sliding on a slip and slide for fun. CJ Stroud's practicing a sliding out there. The quote that I remember from CJ Stroud's time at Ohio State is, people were asking why he didn't run more, and he said, I don't get paid to run. I get paid to throw the football. Well, he continues to be getting paid to throw the football, but we saw CJ move around quite a bit more last year. It led to some extra first downs because he would extend drives with his ability to scramble. But they're now working on him getting down, and they're using a slip and slide. And watching the soon-to-be – Not too soon, but at some point, $65 million man per season slide. It's funny, but I get it. But my question is, who's responsible for the dish soap to make sure the slip and slide continues to be slippery? Like, I don't see an active water hose out there. I don't know if there was a GA, a coach. I don't know if you who what level person has to go get the dish soap to make sure. Well, that it keeps being slippery.
Is a quality control coach. Yeah.
Is a QC out there with the dish soap. It looks fun.
Do you think Nick Haley out of habit grabbed it and he was like, oh, wait, I don't do this anymore.
This is you because you think all he did was get Sean McVay's coffee. That's what that's about. There's no evidence that he ever got his coffee, despite your claims. And I do not think he was the guy who kept the slip and slide lubricated for Matthew Stafford.
Squirting the little Dawn on the...
I just want to know. That would be my question.
Is it a real slip and slide or is it just like the black... Like,
no, it is an actual slip and slide.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's not extended all that far. It's not a full gallop and you slide down head first like a kid would do.
Yeah, I was going to ask, does it have the little, like, water fountain
no,
on the side?
No, this is why I'm asking questions. There's no water hose
inflatable?
Near it.
Is it inflatable?
No, it doesn't look like it. Okay. It just looks like a flat surface. I just want
to
know.
Got to go to Academy. Texans, come on.
Yeah, I don't know where they got it from. It's not one befitting of a okay. NFL franchise, I would say.
Multi-billion dollar
Yeah, it's not.
Company.
No, it's not something you would go, oh, look, they really went all out for this. No.
I mean, I will say, probably shouldn't go all out for something like this. This does seem like the, like, hey, guys, you know, it's been, what, 2 weeks of training camp. Let's have, you know, let's break out the water slide. Let's, you know, have a little bit lighter of a day and practice sliding. Where it's like, we can say that this is helping you, and I guess it is helping you. But also, it's pretty fun, low impact, keeps you cool. I don't mind that they might have cheaped out a little bit on this.
I need to find out from Will Kunkel. Like, Will Kunkel will join us, will join John Lance, excuse me, by us, I mean the station. He'll be a part of the station, it looks like, going forward weekly to talk Texans and some other things. He covers all the sports. Kicking It with Kunkel, I believe, is his podcast. I need him at some point when he comes on. I'm going to ask him a question. In fact, I could just text Will. Hey, Will, can you ask who makes sure that slip and slide is good for CJ? Did you see who laid down the palm olive? Who got water on the slip and slide so CJ can go through his sliding practices?
Do you think
that's
Graham
the information
Mertz?
I need?
Graham Mertz, hey, rookie.
No, there is another quarterback standing behind him, but I don't think Graham Mertz laid out the slip and slide.
Okay,
it's not.
Maybe he goes first to make sure it's, you know, slidable enough. Because you don't want it too dry, and you learn that because the soon-to-be $60 million
loses
quarterback
loses a piece of skin off his
leg.
Yeah,
yeah. Just like, would rather, you know, Davis Mills. Come on,
Davis Mills.
Whee!
Davis Mills has reached a level where he doesn't have to do that.
Who's the other guy?
He played
that they
under Culley and Lovie Smith. Right? He doesn't have to do it.
Who's the other quarterback? They have like a fourth guy that I forgot. Oh, Keaton Slovis.
Keaton Slovis. He would be the guy.
Yeah.
Him and Will. Him and not Will Greer. I almost did it again. Him and Graham Mertz are the two who would have to test it out, and hell, maybe even lay it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they help the coach. I think there is like a low-level coach that does like have to do this.
Someone's putting it out there.
But I do think that the rookie quarterbacks, like, they also play a part in setup, at least. Unless they do it during practice and they're working on
things. Yeah, I'm sure that's probably actually how it goes down. It's the last thing he's doing before he walks off the practice field. While I'm watching the video, which is hypnotic, by the way, I will tell you, watching him slide over and over again in this 19-second loop is pretty funny. Sam Warren _3 is the account that put it out there. So if you want to watch your quarterback slip and slide over and over again in this loop, you can do that. There is a player who fake approaches like he's going to hit CJ. I'm trying to find the roster number. It's number 15.
Okay, I was going to say, without seeing the video.
It's Kyme Fairbairn.
That's funny. That's very funny. Yeah. He's like, I think he's the second funniest guy it could have been. The funniest guy it could have been would have been Azeez Al-Shaair.
True. they're wearing like that light blue Texan blue, H-Town blue jersey.
Non-contact.
It looks a lot like a Jacksonville Jaguar jersey from a distance.
The teal.
So maybe it's just coded into his brain that now every time he sees
like
it.
Like he's the Winter Soldier?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple things that you have to say to trigger Al-Shaair to lay out a quarterback when he's trying to slide. So that's fun from training camp. As much as a lot of it is very serious because we're concerned about our team and what they'll be like, to watch your quarterback do a slip and slide thing is pretty fun. Hopefully he gets it worked out so he can avoid an awkward slide or just getting hit overall. So they're doing that out there to get CJ ready for the upcoming season. Today, the Astros go again against the Marlins. They'll have a opener today. And then Arrigetti's back. He'll come off the IL and pitch tomorrow. We'll see how they get through today's game as they try to take the series against the Marlins. That's the Marlins team who was very hot until the Astros got in there. Waited until the fourth inning. But once those bats got going, it was a pretty fun night. The only one who probably really had a bad night was Brian King. He has not been good over the last five or six outings. But you get the win, and you hope whoever you run out there, whatever four pitchers you need to get through, maybe more to get through the game, hopefully they get it done. We'll see what Joe Espada decides in a little bit. Haven't seen anyone report who that opener will be.
No, no. And again, that's the whole point of the opener. It's like, it's not that important. It's just the guy. Really, you want him. You want the reason you want it to be a one inning guy is just because you just need him to get the top of the order out once, and then you let a long reliever face the, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 hitter. Like, it just takes a while for the heart of
to come back around.
The lineup to come back around.
As long you're as you're pitching well, outs.
As long as you're pitching well. Of course, it's all as long as you guys are pitching well. But with the Marlins, there's not like a, you know, there's not a, oh my God, there's this guy coming, you know, Jose Ramirez, Nick Hertz, among others, Astro Killers. There really hasn't been that guy for the Marlins. Now, they don't ever really play the Marlins. But even just reputationally, there's not the guy in the Marlins lineup where you're like, oh no, here comes this guy. Although, I don't know. Maybe we find out who that is today.
Yeah, don't count on someone not becoming. We didn't know Nick Kurtz would be one until
that
he was
true.
One.
Yeah, that is true. I was thinking more like they don't have like the
there's
Stanton
not a guy
under Yelich.
Yeah, there's not a guy
Hanley
there
Ramirez.
Where I fear. Oh no, not him.
Miguel Cabrera Jr. What the hell?
They don't have that guy. Stowers is their best player.
Stowers is
but
all right. Yeah,
he hadn't done anything against the Astros yet, so we don't have any. We don't have any.
Try that against
PTSD with him.
Yeah,
PTSD with him yet. We'll see.
Or it's gonna sit your ass down, buddy.
You're talking trash on behalf of Caleb Ort.
Yeah.
Caleb Ort doesn't
I believe
even,
in Ort.
He doesn't even want you talking trash. He just wants to go out there, get his house, and go sit down. He doesn't want to make an impression on anyone.
No. We want all the smoke. Me and Kyle. Or Caleb Ort.
You're like Thomas Castellanos. You're writing checks. Your ass doesn't really have to cash.
I'm Nicki Minaj getting her boyfriend in a fight
That's
with Des
true.
Bryant.
That's true. That happened on Twitter. Like, Nicki Minaj was like, I'll pay $10 million for an ex-NFL player to kick your boyfriend's ass? That's what you want to happen? Okay.
All right.
He's not looking for that, but he appreciates it. While we wrap it up, I did want to let you know about Houston Restaurants Week. It's going, ongoing, and it goes through September 1st. All proceeds will go to the Houston Food Bank. So this is how it kind of is set up. You get a $55 dinner plus a $5 donation. That means 15 meals to the Houston Food Bank. And $39 dinner plus a $3 donation. That means 9 meals and so on and so forth. You can help out a worthy cause. And also, you can check out all the restaurants that are on the list of participating establishments like Thai Cottage and The Palm. You can see all the restaurants at HoustonRestaurantsWeeks.com. HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. That'll wrap it up for us. Paul Gallant is up next, followed by the Killer Bees. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Shred up, Stroud!
He's slipping slide, Stroud, to me.
Yeah, I guess today you don't want him to shred anything.
Yeah, he's sliding.
Yeah, don't even shred the little plastic that they have down.
Protect the legs. That's all we're looking
for. Yeah, and the slip and slide.
Yeah. We're done. I'll talk to you tomorrow.